to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to continue on with the challenge I gave earlier and take us on to chapter 3, as I mentioned. And folks, I'm telling you right now, if you don't get this first two verses down in working order, the rest of what I'm preaching will go to naught. It will come up short and empty as far as your ministry and, again, your stewardship of what you are or supposed to be in Christ Jesus. So let's go to chapter 3. Again, we're talking about walking rightly in Jesus. Now we come into chapter 3 and it says this: "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of earth." Now here's point number one, folks. It's kind of berserk, but it fits the time we're in. If you're right with God, you are the walking dead. Can I have an oh my from the crowd, please? Oh my. You know, there's a lot of zombie stuff going on out there, and I think it's just dorky. I think it's just a waste of time. Maybe you're addicted to that. You need to get saved, I think. But you know what, folks? If you are truly in Christ Jesus, here's what God has ordered up. This is one of my favorite passages to preach from the Word of God. Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What does that mean? You're here to be the walking dead. That's what it means. You're supposed to be dead to you, alive to the will and working of God, seeking to minister to the needs of others. In your mind, in your heart, it should be for Christ all the time in all things. And folks, here's where we get into trouble: when your horizontal relationships become more important than your vertical relationship. Now, for those geographic or mathematically challenged, that just means here's horizontal, here's vertical. Say, oh, yeah. In other words, your relationship to God should always supersede any other relationship, period. Now, I know, Pastor, they're liable to start smooching before the service is over. I mean, they're in love. I mean, sizzle, sizzle, burn love, you know. He's so tired for working the past 2 weeks, he says, just leave me alone. Don't touch me. I don't care. I'm tired. But, folks, what does verse 1 deal with? Here's a good note opportunity: dependence. Yeah, that's it. That's where we have trouble, don't we? You know, it's amazing how in the world we're kind of contrary to, say, the least, or just opposite of what the world does. What do you do as far as parenting's concerned? You raise the kids up to get rid of them. Y'all with me? Isn't that the goal at hand? Dread it be the thought you still got that 43-year-old in your basement. And if that's you, man up and get out of your mom and dad's house. Just a little encouragement from Uncle Mike. But folks, it's just the opposite as far as parenting child. You know, as a parent, you're trying to help your kids be a separate unit, you know, independent of what you are and what you do. Now, you're always mom and dad, but in Christ Jesus, your heavenly Father, you should be more dependent on Him than less every day. Isn't that it? You should be in all your ways acknowledging Him so He can direct your path, and you don't like that. That's why you choose to have that independent spirit, because you want to go where you want to go, do what you want to do when you want to do it. You're not right with God. And you will not walk rightly in Christ Jesus because you have yet to surrender yourself to that depth and degree of dependence upon your God. Well, I'm smart. You're not smarter than my God. Well, I've been saved a long time, but you're still clueless in comparison to what the Heavenly Father knows and wants to park in your brain and heart. You need my Jesus 24/7. And apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And folks, how conceited and full of ourselves we become and are when we listen to us instead of simply trusting and obeying our God. Can I get an ouch from the crowd, please? Ouch, yeah. I want to run the show too, folks, because I'm a sinful, worthless piece of human flesh. But can I help your self-esteem? So are you. And you're nothing in comparison to our God. You girls, I know, you got the hair thing working. You're just styling, looking good in the neighborhood. I don't know why you're sitting by those ugly boys, but that's okay. Lack of discernment happens in this altitude of the UP. But, you know, these girls, you know, they're thinking their stuff is really better than it is. Ouch. You know, they think they've almost arrived to understanding that no man even knows about. They're dumb in a brick like everybody else. But they've got to understand they need God more so right now than they ever have needed Him in their lives. Because there's going to be some smooth-talking boy going, "Yo, yo, mama. You want to get lucky? I got all my teeth. I'm a euchre. I got all my teeth up here. And you know what? I can make your life like, yes. Are you with me, girl? She'll go, oh. And she'll become a puddle of just stirred up emotional goo and be unfaithful to God. Why? Because her horizontal relationship became more important than her vertical relationship. And she started doing the dumbest thing a girl could ever do. She started listening to her heart. She started listening to herself. And she wondered why she gets stuck with some bozo brain dead guy who just wants to get a bass boat and go fishing all the time, and you get a job, woman, so I can do my thing. Yeah, I know that's normal up here, but it's still not right, people. Are you with me? Kill Bambi as you must for food on the table. But work, man, work, all right? So what are we after, folks? We're here to walk rightly in Christ Jesus. If you're going to do that, you've got to be dependent on God the way you're supposed to be dependent upon God. Now, what happens? We get out of that right working order, and how come? Look at verse 2 again. In verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. What drives complete, total submission, surrender, dependence upon God? Devotion to God. That's what verse 2 is about. Have your heart hooked to God's heart. Love my Jesus more than anybody, anything, at any time, and you won't mess up so much. You will be dependent because you know you cannot function faithfully or anything worthwhile at all unless you're relying on the power and wherewithal of our God. You know, I've given you this statement, and I know there's some newbies here, so I'm going to give this again. When Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. You hear me? When Jesus ceases to be precious, the love of your life, you're going to backslide. You're going to come up short and empty as far as your performance and presentation of anything for the cause of Jesus Christ. And guess what? You're going to fall short of pleasing and honoring Him. So dependence, but again, devoted, so that dependence will keep on keeping on to accomplish what God would have done. Now, you've been out with me at junior camp, a lot of you folks, and I'll probably preach this message again this week, but I got a message entitled this, I love Him most. Would you say it with me, boys and girls? I love Him most. Really? Then how come you're doing that? How come you're going over there? How come you're not here? Some of you won't show up tonight. You don't love my Jesus most, or you want more of Him, not less. You'd be here for Sunday school, but you don't even darken the door for that. Why not? Because you're not really dependent and devoted unto God the way it works to walk rightly in Christ Jesus. Let me summarize. You're here to be dead to self, dead to sin, walking in newness of life, alive in Christ and for Christ. And folks, memorize this, but let it be mastered in your life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So first of all, folks, you're supposed to be the walking dead. Let me give you another berserk point. Number two, you're here to be a killer. Yeah, 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 and that may wake a couple of you up, but let me show you how this is done down in verse 5. In verse 5, it says mortified, that means put to death. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And folks, he gives a don't go there, don't go do this list. You know, I get so sick of these mamby-pamby, spineless preachers who just want to, so I preach on love. Well, go ahead, God's got love. You know, I want to, but they don't want to say, hey, there's some things not to do as well things to do. And they don't do anything confrontationally because they don't want to be politically incorrect. Or again, folks, we need stirred up. We need our cages rattled because we're being brainwashed every day by Trumpism and Hillaryisms and worldisms and all kinds of stuff that's garbage in comparison to the wisdom and knowledge from the blessed Word of God, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge from this book. What does this list involve? Let me give you a statement. You are here to kill the activities. You're listening, girls and boys, in single mode and hunt mode. Some of you girls are in hunt mode. I don't care. Just as long as you're breathing, I'm going to reel them in. Okay, here's what it means. Kill the activities of immoral, sensual, perverted, flesh-feeding sin, self-centered, wicked choices that defile you and your walk in Christ Jesus. Now, mentioning again guys and girls on the hunt, and you know what? It's a normal procedure of life. You know, I have never counseled a couple that ever regretted staying pure, moral, before they said, I do. Y'all with me? Never. But how many couples now that have been married for a while are so embarrassed about their choices before they were married? The defilement of God's temple. You know what, folks? I wouldn't even play kissy faces. If I was engaged at this point, I know how wicked my flesh is. I wouldn't even practice. Are y'all with me? Can I help you? You don't need to practice before you get married. You really don't. Trust me. It'll be all right. If you need to practice, go kiss a tree. Suck the foam out of your pillow. But don't be smooching on each other, because the flesh is weak. And it always wants to go deeper into sin instead of staying away from it. Don't defile that. But we're in love. Well, love my Jesus more. And realize you're in Him and for Him. And don't mess up what belongs to my Jesus. Never have I had a couple who stayed pure and moral before marriage ever regret it. But you know the other part of the story. So let's go on down to this passage. And I'm going to do this rather quick because I'm hungry too. Go on down with me and let me show you a quick checklist. Now, we can't do what really needs to be done. Maybe I'll get to the second half tonight. But I want to show you a list here of, again, opportunity of faithful choosing on what not to wear. Go down with me, if you would, to verse 8, where it says this. It says, "But now ye also put off," underscore this, "all these." Did you get that, teenager? All the, not picking, I like that one, but that'll interrupt what I'm doing. Exactly. It's supposed to interrupt what you do versus what God would have done. So look at the list and know it's God's will for even your life. This is a biggie to start out with, folks, because today in the age we're in, there are a lot of angry people out there, aren't there? Not just Democrats. There's some angry Republicans. Not just those trolls people. There's angry youpers. I saw them at Walmart last night. So let's go back to verse 8. It says, "But now ye also put off all these." And the first one, as I mentioned, is anger. Now look up at this preacher. What do you think about when you think about somebody being an angry person? Do you think of self-control? Someone who's filled with kindness? No, just the opposite. Not nice. Explosive. Very, very selfish. But let me give you a trick question. Is it ever a good thing to be angry? Yeah, when you're angry at sin. You know, if sin's before you, if it doesn't anger you, you got something messed up in your relationship with Christ Jesus. But here are the excuses I get from people who justify their angry spirit, which God says, put this off. How about this one? "Well, I'm just a person who speaks their mind." Well, excuse me, aren't you a new creature in Christ? Hey, Raider, you don't have to leave because you're under conviction. He does this every time I preach. It gets too hot. It gets too close to home. Boom, he's out of here. You know the bad thing? He could hurt me. You know, he could hurt me. I know. So he's a manly Raider. Okay, so what do you do about this? "I'm a person that speaks my mind." I got an idea. Put on the mind of Christ and let Him come forth through your life, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Wouldn't that be a novel idea and a great opportunity? "Well, my kids deserve a tongue lashing." Well, God deserves better. You hear me? They need to hear from you as well as see from your life. Well, I'm glad you got our conviction and came back. Bless your heart. Okay, but folks, listen. You are a new creature in Christ. Watch me now. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Yeah, you were a drill sergeant before you married your husband. And, you were a taskmaster of life's endeavor. But now you're a new creature and you're here to manifest my Jesus. And you got to be dead to you and quit making excuses that it's okay for you to be filled with anger when God says, "Don't go there, don't do that." Well, Brother Maynard, that's just the way my whole family is. Well, you're a part of a new family. So manifest and show forth Christ's likeness and put off anger. Look at the next one listed here. We don't use this word much, wrath. You know, we don't say, "Oh, boy, I'm wrath with you." Now, we don't go there and do that. But folks, what does wrath mean? It's anger taking action. You want to write that in your notes? Wrath is anger taking action. Nowhere close to self-control, which means, bottom line, God's not in control of who and what you are. Justification of abuse toward others. Yeah, again, they may deserve it, but God deserves better from this life that belongs to Him. Let me give you a great statement I found. "A tongue out of control is never the evidence of strong character. It reflects the weakness. It reflects weakness and suggests selfishness." Again, folks, they may deserve a straightening out here, but here's what God orders up. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." How many burble and gurgle with bitterness and all kinds of frustrations of their life because they don't practice this verse? They don't confess their sin of anger, which takes them deeper into a hole of unfaithfulness than rightly representing Jesus Christ. So God says, no question, no confusion, put off anger. Boom. Secondly, put away wrath, anger, taking action. Well, I got an idea. I got it. If you put off anger to begin with, guess what? Bingo, presto, there you go. Oh, you dealt with wrath along the journey. But that's the problem we face. And look at number three, malice. Now, folks, I'm from Indiana. You know how clueless those people are, almost as much as those people from Ohio, like Brother Frank back there. But malice, folks, I didn't have a clue what that meant. I really didn't. I mean, I was chasing girls and, you know, doing anything else but studying back when I was in high school, like a normal human being. But malice, and not you nerd guys who studied all the time, but malice is simply this, the intention or desire to do evil or ill will. That helped me. What was that again? The intention or desire to do evil or ill will. This is a great statement. Unconfessed anger, looking for an opportunity to explode with wrath. Isn't that good? I wish I could have come up with that. Let me read it again. Unconfessed anger, looking for an opportunity to explode with wrath. It's really anger you didn't deal with biblically as far as putting it off. It's like you're saving it for the right moment. Now, folks, I'm very married, okay? I'm very, very, very married. And some days I'm thankful and sometimes I'm not. But I am, again, very thankful God blessed me with that woman I am blessed with, but I still want to kill her half the time. And I remember in our early time of marriage, we would kind of store up, you know, weapons of mass destruction. You know, kind of save that zinger for next conversation where I can put her in her place. I can get that man again. They just, you know what? That's so wickedly fleshly oriented. You shouldn't have an arsenal stored up like the National Guard. You should have that stuff confessed and forsaken as far as your testimony and walk in Christ Jesus is concerned. But because it's all about you and not about Jesus, you're still doing it according to thus saith the flesh instead of thus saith the Lord. Folks, again, that's how we end up in bitterness. And folks, you know, it's amazing to me. Now, I do camp work all the time, as you guys know. You know, salvation's always the blessed decision of any camp activity. We had several kids saved last week at the camp I was preaching. But you know what? I hope some get saved this week. Now, another one is surrender to God. You know, really putting Christ first, not just messing around, doing your thing. But the other decision that blew my mind that's in so abundance is the sin of bitterness. How many kids are bitter at their hypocritical parents? How many kids hear their mom and dad again say one thing and live so contrary to that? I'm a man of Jesus. Yeah, but you're still an angry person. You just explode at every turn an opportunity of venting your flesh. And you are a person of wicked choosing. You're full of malice. You're not walking rightly in Christ Jesus, and you're not demonstrating the testimony that represents my Jesus the way he deserves to be represented. How do we end up so bitter and so dysfunctional for the cause of Christ? We don't go to the checklist and get it taken care of. God says put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, and this was just as important, folks, blasphemy. Blasphemy is profane talk. It really deals with offensive talk toward God. And folks, this is in abundance more than I've ever seen. A lightness toward a holy God today is rampant. Do you hear me? Just mocking standards, mocking the holiness of God. Again, oh, it's okay, let's just go drink a little. No, that's a wicked sin. You know, wait, I can smoke all right because I live by grace. No, you're under a stinking, smelly testimony like an ashtray. And you don't understand, you're defiling the temple of God. Well, I dress whatever. No, you can't. You're bought with a price, the shed blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Folks, how dare we dummy down, dilute, and defile a testimony of Christ likeness, righteous representation, and like we started, that be ye holy as I am holy. And I don't want us to be Christian Amish. Y'all with me here? I don't want you to lock your kids in a closet till they're like 18. It would be easier. Okay? It'd be a lot probably more enjoyable for mom and dad. But folks, listen to me carefully. You need to have standards, but not based on you. Because if you do it according to your reasoning and your preferences, you will become a Christian Amish. You'll be more offensive than on the, again, a working mindset of impacting people. We don't look like a bunch of weirdos, but we don't want to look like we just walked out of a bar or club either. We don't want to flash our flesh. We want to, again, present Jesus in a very consistent, balanced fashion. You know, don't do redneck rah-rah. You know, get all stirred up and just kind of get it zinging and slinging here. No, think it through based on principles of Scripture and make choices to rightly represent my Jesus. So blasphemy, profane talk, slander or irreverence toward God, never a good idea. And it happens when we mock, belittle, or make fun of the things of God. And again, folks, that's not the way God is pleased. Matter of fact, that's one of the dumbest choices you can make. Don't be blasphemous concerning my God, or judgment will come, I guarantee. The next one, again, is a testimony representation, filthy communication or shameful speaking. Folks, the casual approach to the topic of anything scares me to death. Indecent talk, even among believers, is mind-blowing to me. Let me give you the model God has set for every believer. Well, you know, I'm pretty rough and tumble. Well, you need to get rid of that and be more Christ-like. Y'all with me here? Here's the model. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Can I have an oh my from the crowd, please? Oh my. Even at home? Yeah. Well, I work in a pretty rough place. Well, you're there as a lighthouse. You're there not to just get a laugh or win approval. You listen to me, teenagers? If you're hanging around a crowd that blasphemies your God and calls you to compromise in your response as well as your representation of Jesus, you're with the wrong crowd. Yeah, you pray for them, but don't chill with them. Don't get down, get up again with them. No, flee even the appearance of evil. And don't be unequally yoked with those people who hate your God. Now, you got to win them, but you don't have to fellowship with them and go down to that level of unfaithful choosing. Never a good thing to wear, filthy communication. And here's the last one. I'll be done, and this is just as convicting. Lying, not truthful. What does God think of lying, people? What's it say in Scripture? Is He kind of tolerating it? No, God hates lying. And folks, we should too. We're here to speak the truth and speak the truth in love. Now, some people are just as blunt can be. You know, they speak the truth, but they don't have much love with it. You know, girls are real bad at this. Girls, let me give you an example here. Girls are proficient liars in this way. Your girlfriend comes up to you and she says, "How do I look?" Now, she looks horrible, okay? She looked like she went to tent and awning and got the dress. Are y'all with me here? I mean, goodwill wouldn't even take this. Are you people with me? You understand where I'm going here? But what does the girl do? "Oh, honey, you look good. Oh, ow, girl, you're looking good in a neighborhood." Don't girls do that? But you know what, folks? We do the same thing because we want people to like us. We don't want to be offensive. Well, don't be offensive. Speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. It may look horrible, but look for a best interest for them, how you can help them, how you can help them be more a better representative and presenter of Christ likeness, not just Billy Blunt, hit him upside the head with a sledgehammer. Yeah, boy, are you stupid. Yes, they are. Okay? Yeah, you look dorky. You know what? You need to ask God for discernment on how to build them up, not just rip them to shreds. Yeah, you understand. You see, you don't have a clue, but you should be more discerning to help them, again, be what they are supposed to be to rightly represent Jesus, not get them so discouraged they run from God instead of running to God. Why do we lie? Well, to impress people, to get our way, to cover up something we did that was really stupid. Can I give you an illustration here real quick and we'll be closed? You know, I've counseled in camp since I was like 18 years old or 19. I've done counseling forever, it seems like, even as an unsaved guy. Well, one particular camp, and I may have given this illustration, but it's worth telling again. I was in this camp in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. It's about halfway between Northland and Chautauqua on Highway 8. It was a private boys camp. Brother Bill, do you know what the best thing is about a private boys camp? There's a private girls camp on the other side of the lake. Glory, hallelujah, God is so good. So we had these brats for the entire, I mean these children, for the whole summer. I mean rich, spoiled, big buck kid brats. And these kids were a blessing and fun to be around, but you know, I was an egotistical maniac, so I'm sure they had a good time being around me. Well, what happened, I taught water skiing and canoeing. I was a Boy Scout. You know, I grew up a spoiled, rotten car dealer kid. I had all the toys. I'm the kind of guy you just love to hate in high school. I had hair back then. Was high a looker. Well, what happened, teaching skiing, I was going to give a demonstration on how the art of skiing needs to be set forth. So, you know, we're going to put on a presentation. Another hot dog car dealer kid was driving the boat. They sold chibis. They weren't as spiritual as us Ford people. But what happened was, he thought he'd be real funny and bring me in at warp factor 5. Now, what was I going to do? Very simple exercise. U-shaped dock, bring me in. I'm going to turn, jump out of my skis, sit on the dock, roll over, land in the water. Ta-da! Folks, piece of cake for an expert such as myself. Well, what happened, bringing me in at warp factor 5, I didn't have time to get out of my skis. You all folks with me here? Matter of fact, I didn't have time to get out of the way of the dock that hit me right below my kneecaps. I mean, it ripped flesh like flesh has never been ripped. I roll across the dock. I'm back in the water on the other side, and I'm underwater going, and all I could hear was this, dun-dun. Dun-dun, dun-dun. I mean, it was a bloody pool of fleshly just rip apart. And I knew the sharks were going to eat me, but it was fresh water. So what did I do underwater? I scream loud like a girl. But I come out of the water and I go, ta-da! And the crowd went wild, ladies and gentlemen. And here's how dumb is added to real dumb. You ready? You know what I said next? Do you want to see it again? So I hop back in the water. I get the skis on. I said, don't bring me in so fast. Yeah, right. He brought me at warp factor 9. You people with me? And when you ever been skiing when they do the old whiplash thing? I hit that dock in the exact same place. I didn't think there's any more flesh to be taken off, but it did a good job. I roll across the dock. I'm in the water. I'm underwater going, and I stood up, and what did I do, boys and girls? Ta-da! But I didn't ask to do it again. I was smarter than that. But why did I do that? Stinking liar. I wanted to look better than my stupid brain and body was allowing me to present myself. You know what? It was just so stupid. But you know what, folks? That's what happens anytime when we choose to go this direction instead of faithfulness to our God. And folks, when you're in a lying mode, it leads from one lie to another lie to another lie to cover up your old lie-filled heart and just choice of life. Folks, these things are not optional. These are God's will for your life. Let me read it one more time, and we'll have an invitation, and it ought to be a doozy, don't you think? Let's go back to chapter 3 and verse 8, where it says, but now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. And then it goes on to what to wear once you put off what you're not supposed to wear. Now let me back the card up here. Remember what I said? You'll never come anywhere close to being faithful to this walk in Christ Jesus unless you first get verses 1 and 2 right. And this is probably the major invitation opportunity. You need to come to this altar and ask God's forgiveness for running a life that belongs to Him. Y'all listening? You are a take charge personality, and you do that even in your relationship with the Holy God. You're in sin. You're not pleasing. And you're not the example of faithfulness God wants you to be. Secondly, how can we motivate this on a daily basis? The devotion thing. Nobody, nothing matters more than my Jesus. What do I teach the juniors? I love Him most. And if that's not where you are in your relationship with Jesus, again, you're not right with God. And you will never. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much you read your Bible. If that's not the fact of your relationship with Jesus, you will never walk rightly in Christ Jesus. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Now, we have a wonderful prepared staff who would love to pray with you. If you're confused, I've messed you up more than helped you. They can straighten out the questions in your mind if you'll give opportunity. But folks, I think it was pretty simple and pretty clear, wasn't it? You need to get saved? Boy, run down this aisle to Pastor Rader and say, I need to get saved. And we can help you understand that. If you are saved, and this was for believers, obviously, God's dealt with your heart. You know what's holding up the parade of your faithful endeavor for Jesus. You know what's messing up that walking rightly in Him and for Him. And you know what needs to be done. You need to hit this altar and seek God's forgiveness and just experience the blessed victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? We're not going to have any singing this morning. But folks, even as I'm praying this morning, the altar's open. Counseling is available. God has convicted you. That is a privilege. So buy up the privilege of meeting with Jesus here this morning.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the good book.